Du lytter til Enneagrammet Next Level podcast med Flemming Christensen. I den her episode, som oprindeligt er bragt i Enneagram Insights podcast, taler han med Noa Abo Alma. Hun er coach og arbejder med NLP, hypnose, meta-coaching, reiki og healing. Hun taler på forskellige Enneagram-konferencer rundt omkring i verden. Hun relaterer til type 3, og her taler de blandt andet om den personlige rejse og hvordan man genforener de tre centre. Rigtig god lytning, og husk at tjekke show notes, hvis du gerne vil vide mere om enneagrammet og de 9 typer. Think About It holder løbende enneagramkurser, og du er velkommen.
Today, I'm very excited to have a conversation with you, Noa. We have been talking a few times before, but never like this. So I'm very excited, and we had a little warm-up here. It makes me even more excited. So very welcome in this virtual studio online.
Thank you, Flemming. Thank you so much. I'm so excited too.
Very good. And I'd like to start with how you met the Enneagram. How it came into your life, and did it touch you the first time you met it, or did it take some time for you to kind of get hooked?
Okay. Actually, I started my coaching career in 2010, learning a lot of stuff, filling my toolbox as a coach. I've studied the NLP, Master NLP, Timeline Therapy, Master Timeline, Hypnosis, meta coaching, and then I've started my Reiki Masters and Pranic Healing and Pete and so on. And among my clients, either my clients who I coach them directly, individually, or in my trainings, I found that my clients needed something more deep. They wanted to know more about themselves. More than just working on their problems or their transformation or so on. And this was in 2018. So I just had the intention to learn something related to psychology or to personalities. And actually, I've just manifested this. I found an ad talking about the Enneagram. What's the Enneagram? It's type. It was at that time in the form of typology and personalities and so on. So I decided to start just a module of the Enneagram, knowing more about the personalities, to add this tool to my toolbox, to help my clients know themselves and so on. I've never thought that I needed to work on myself. I'm the coach. I know I have a lot of tools and so on. So I just wanted to add to my toolbox. And by 2018, I started my first Enneagram journey. And actually, I have finished it, and it lasted for 1 year, and I have assisted during another year for the next cohort of that school. And I found myself, okay, I want to learn more from other teachers, international teachers. Maybe I've studied with Debbie, the spiral dynamics, and Gurdjieff work, Tom Condon, and the coaching dynamics. I studied with you, Flemming, more about the object relations. Marion Gilbert, the somatic Enneagram. I've ended with her the last journey, somatic Enneagram journey. And I found myself just putting bits and pieces of everything, learning about my type and how to work on it. But you know, asking me the question of, did it touch you? It touched me deeply and so much, and on a lot of levels, actually. The first time when I heard about the types, the only type I have excluded was my type. I said, oh my God, who are those people? Mm-hmm. I don't know who, I didn't meet this type before. And I mistyped myself to avoid facing myself with my type. And I started to experience the games of the ego of just shape-shifting to settle in another type, to let the pain shallower and shallower. That's how I started my journey with the Enneagram. And in January 2023, I had my accredited professional title, finally, after 5 years. And that's all, till now.
Thank you. Thank you. So today you are teaching and coaching and supporting people in building a meaningful and purposeful life. You're also the commercial director of Transcend Egypt. How is the Enneagram helping you, in particular, supporting you? How do you benefit in these roles of the Enneagram?
In the personal aspect, actually, it helped me a lot in catching myself, deceiving myself. You know, first, when I first listened about my type, I'm dealing with type 3. The way I heard it was totally different from the real meaning of it. I thought in the beginning that it's deceiving others by not being myself and so on. But actually, I found that, no, I am deceiving myself. In a lot of things, actually. But my first thing was catching myself, deceiving myself, taking actions that are not relating to me. This is not me. That's not what I want. And that led me to search for what I really want. And this was another deep journey, actually, because suddenly I don't know, what do I really want? Because I'm not used to ask this question, actually.
Yeah.
It have put me on the road and the journey of exploring my real heart and my true heart as leading with type 3. It's a journey. It's an exciting journey and full of surprises. It's really full of surprises. I think you can relate, Fleming, from what I'm saying.
I can totally relate. I'm sitting here listening from the exact same type. And I have a question for you here that maybe it's too private, and then let me know. But what is it that you really want then?
Yes, this question puts me in the freeze reflex. What do I want? And I take a lot of time to know. Then actually what helped me in that, asking my body, not my heart. I'm reaching to my heart through my body. It's voice actually and signals are way louder than my heart. Maybe in the stage I'm in now, maybe my heart will speak louder I hope, in the near future. But my body's signals are way higher than my heart, actually. I follow with the expansion and the contraction I feel. And sometimes I know more what I don't want, more than what I want. And by time, I started to navigate through the feeling of expansion towards what I really want. What I feel expanded from inside after aligning my three centers. If I did not align my three centers, I observe, I suddenly find myself, I'm outside. I'm connecting with who is outside, who I'm connecting with him or her, and I'm just doing this before asking myself. Or checking in.
Actually, we were interrupted with the Wi-Fi here a second ago, so this is take two. But you were in the middle of saying that when listening to your heart, right now it's a little bit easier listening to your body.
Yeah.
And still the same question. So what is it that you really want if you listen to your body?
Okay. And that's a tricky question, but okay. What I really want is taking care of myself, live life as it is, without trying all the time to enhance the quality of it and enhance what I do and enhance what can be done for better feedbacks. These are good things, but the most important thing that can change the game from being from making it in my favor or not is not being the price for this, not being as Noha the payment for this, not to pay myself as the thing that will be in return of this without considering myself in the process of it.
So if you don't do that, if you don't go for the price, then what is it that you do?
I would go with the flow, Fleming. I would go with the flow. Just be. And this is not easy, just to be. And to accept myself by just be.
I'm taking notes here and I'm... Yeah. Yeah. I wrote here, that is a very courageous move. Go with the flow and just be you and trust. Trust that it will all go well.
And it's not an easy journey at all. It's not, it's full of overwhelming moments and anxiety attacks and a lot of upside down plans. You know, what I'm working on is staying in the pause between what's happening outside and my reaction to it, the pause. And to do my best, try my best to align at that moment, to choose to be responsive, not reactive, because the reactivity is just happening like this. But now, actually, the reactivity is not the best answer for me, or it's not what soothed my heart from inside that, okay, now, if I'm reactive, I'm safe. I'm belonging. People are seeing me as Noha, the valuable person who is adding all the time, adding to whoever and whatever around. Actually, this is not soothing my heart anymore. So I'm in the middle. This is not okay with me, and this is still hard. And parts of me actually are diminishing all the time, and this is very scary. But after this period, these periods of times, I suddenly find myself feeling a really nice sense of expansion and safety. Actually, moving from a scared heart to a safe heart, and the safe heart is something I've just discovered 2 days ago. What would I feel if I'm not anxious in my heart center? So the feeling was I was going in a polarity process in the last Integrated Wisdom course I'm studying, and found myself, okay, I'm moving from the anxious heart, and this was, it's the first time to put those two words together. But that's what I felt, to the safe heart, the secured heart.
I think that you are sharing the whole purpose of the Enneagram right here. To see yourself, face yourself, understand what you're seeing, facing is not you, it's just your patterns. And then create the space between patterns and the real self.
Yes, and to discover that it's not that dangerous as we assume and live it that way and put on our defense mechanism and live another life. It's not our life. It's not how we are created to live it. Mm. It's the life of the defense mechanisms and the avoidance and so on.
So true.
We are created to have three centers, not to only align with one center. And actually, it's the center I'm most contracted in. Okay. This is the first part. So we have three compasses that are moving us forward. The three compasses are actually the three most pure and true parts of us before the contraction, and how these three centers are leading us to what they really want and they really need. The mind center has its own needs, and the heart center is the same, and the gut center. So when my heart center has a need like connection, or it needs to grieve, or it needs to feel something, to allow a feeling, and so on. It's not my role at all to go and feed my gut center and go and have lunch or have a snack. And suddenly we find ourselves, we are addicted to some maybe habits, some patterns. You can call it any unhealthy thing, any unhealthy pattern. Most probably, or I can see it as a coach coaching my clients in this aspect. 90% of any disorder I have experienced with myself first is due to giving the needs that one center wants to another center and ignoring the real needs of the center being fed with what it doesn't want and actually leaving the first center feeling abandoned and not fed. And this starts to make us going on and on in continuous loops, infinite loops, actually. Some can be the addiction to connect to anyone when you feel a certain feeling, or to go and eat when you feel anxious of something, to go and have a drink, to go and have angry patterns with people instead of connecting. It's somehow related to the contraction in our types. What I saw with that time is that these three compasses, they want to lead us, and we want to be led, and they want to be fed the right way and with the right resources they need, and they are created to receive. So no wonder if someone is having some emotional stuff going on, and they don't want to face it or to pass it, to actually to allow the grieving process, the steps of the grief, and to finish finally. And so they go and do another thing, and they go and try to fix the symptom of maybe overeating, smoking, doing things they are compelled to do, they are addicted to do. Actually, it's from the very, very beginning of addressing the need to center that doesn't need it.
Mm. It sounds like you can do coaching alone on the three centers. Could be very powerful itself.
Yes. If we connected in the correct way to each center, understood its function, its needs, and we addressed the need to the right center, things will definitely change.
Yeah.
And we will move from reactivity to responsiveness. Maybe I have a need to express my feeling, to have a fight with someone, to raise a boundary. Not to eat hamburger now.
So I have a new question for you. And it's two-folded. So it goes like this. Please tell me your hopes for the Enneagram. Where do you hope the Enneagram will evolve? But also your fears about the Enneagram. How can you see it can be misused or mistreated, or we can mistreat ourselves by using the Enneagram? So your hopes and your fears.
Let's start with the hopes. Okay.
Yeah.
First of all, I really hope for the Enneagram to take its real how can I say it? Its real foundation inside people. Enneagram is not just about typology or personality types and, you are type that X, so you do 1, 2, 3. No, it's an inner journey to know why did you contract in that type and to awaken the inner observer, be grounded in presence and catch yourself and be responsive instead of being reactive and full stop. This is the beginning and full stop. Knowing more about the behaviors and so on makes you more and more contracted in your type and settled inside the box and start to just justify what you do. Oh, I'm doing this because I'm type X. I want to achieve all the time, so don't try to stop me. You know? No. So I really, really wish for the Enneagram to take this real leap of faith, because it has it. It has it. I wish that people won't prevent this work from happening from inside, because it really brings the real freedom from inside out. And every time Fleming, after doing any inner work related to my type structure, there is the main peer I get out of that work is grounding my heart more and more. So I'm not working on my heart not to be emotional or not to lead with my heart, actually. I just want to be grounded and lead with the same type, no problem with this, but not out of the contraction, not finding justification to why I'm not me. Why I'm not me? The type is not me. We are not the types. So this is my real wish. And I think I said my fears in the middle of my answer.
Yeah. Exactly. I will make you a little more difficult question. If you should focus, like, dedicated for a couple of years into three areas, and you can only choose A, B, and C, and you cannot mix them. Just for the sake of the question, right? So A, focus 3 years of your life in bringing the Enneagram out to young adults, working with young adults, coaching them, make them understand whatever they are mature enough to understand and what will be right for them. That's A. B, spending 3 years on relationships. So, or private relationships, like partners in life. Or C, top executives to work on themselves and do the work, like both A and B, but the target group would be top executives. And you would be the smartest cookie on your field after 3 years. So you will also learn and you will have resources. And so where would you invest 3 years of your life in this constructed question?
So you want me to choose one of them?
Yeah, only one of them.
Actually, the three fields are bringing more transformation to any. Okay, but you know, I would prefer to work with the young adults. And actually, I found myself doing this without recognizing. I was speaking with one of my friends and told her that I've discovered that most of my clients, I do coaching sessions to different ages, but I have certain clients who I started with them my coaching journey with them when they were 7 years, 10 years old, and now they have graduated from school and from college, actually. So I've discovered that I didn't recognize this, that I take them from that age till they are adults. And actually, after studying coaching with the Enneagram, using the Enneagram of process, it helped me a lot ground this critical age, because we focus on their system, the main points of their system, the 9 points of their system. So we are sure that we are grounded in our session, grounded in the results, and actually grounded in the action plan I'm putting, and its result afterwards. Both of us, me and the client, are sure that we are working according to the capacity, the intention, and forming a structure that is moving us from what we have diagnosed as an old system or a current system, and moving to the desired system they want. So my answer will be A.
Thank you. How do you think we can indirectly help our own children?
We need just to stick to the pause, Fleming, between what's happening and our reactivity of the type structure. When I try to hold on this, I find a lot of my type structure just jumping and want to make sure that everything is going on as I want it or as I can see it, without connecting with what's happening inside her or her type structure too. She has a type. She's not it, but she has it. So without just excusing her for being that type, I'm trying to let her connect with what's happening inside, instead of seeing herself reactive of it, and by trying to be a role model as much as I can. But I can only see it now embodied in this pause between the trigger and the reaction. And by time, our capacity for this pose actually expands all the time. It's like forming new neural pathways instead of reacting after. You know, this is very important because a lot of our children abuse us, and they are using our thigh structure against us. Yeah. So when I know that my daughter might send me all the signs and signals that I'm not good enough, I didn't do enough, there's something missing that I might have added, so she would feel happier, and I start to dwell in the loop of I want to be a good mother, I want to be a good mother, I want to make her happy. It's again, I got back to the doing loop. So when I started to stick to the pause, I got out of the picture, and I discovered that she has her own journey. She has her own challenges. She has her own grief that she has to pass by. I'm not the super woman that should just stop everything happening to everyone. I'm just a human being at the end. And this is very hard to accept, by the way.
Yeah. We are ending here. I feel that we could continue for a very long time talking about this. Or is there something that you would like to share here before we end?
Actually, it's my favorite quote. We are all walking each other home. There is no superiority or ranks, or who is knowing better than who, or who has the experience, who is the guru, who knows it. No one knows it all. We are all walking each other home. And this sentence makes me feel grounded and compassionate to me and to everyone on this, again, real journey.
That is very beautiful. Thank you a lot.
And thank you so much for this beautiful interview. I really, really enjoyed each moment of it. Thank you so much.
Tak fordi du lyttede med, og husk at tjekke show notes, hvis du gerne vil vide mere om enagrammet og de 9 typer. Think About It holder en masse spændende kurser og forløb, og du er velkommen.